Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Glad you could be with us today. Welcome to House Plans. Talking a little real estate with Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. JD on sabbatical.
I saw a Facebook post where he was, he's in Wild Dunes this week.
He's
right?
Networking. Yeah. In Wild Dunes.
On the golf tournament.
A.K.A. playing golf.
Yep.
Yes, that's what...
This is actually an annual trip he takes, right?
Yes, that's right. And in the mortgage business, we always refer to golf as networking.
Yes. And it is.
You can get a lot of business done on the golf course.
You can.
But
even
because
if
there's
you hit
only...
it bad.
Yeah, because there's only two of us, we're going to need plenty of texters and callers.
Last week we fumbled the ball, right?
We did. We forgot to refresh the text line, and we were begging for text, and we had 9 and didn't know it. It's like
amateurs.
Angela's like, refresh it, and finally I did. I was like, oh look, we have 9 questions. So we're looking for 9 questions this week, and I've already refreshed it.
We've done no show prep. So
listen, that's text. Not true. You and I both have 25 years of show prep.
And 16 years in this booth, right?
At least, something like that. Yeah. 15 or 16, they hadn't thrown us out yet. I think that's because the check keeps clearing.
Yep.
You know, if we were getting paid, we'd probably be gone. But we are looking for your question, calls, comments, anything to do with the real estate. 866-442-7553 is the toll-free number. Or you can hit us up on the text line 71307. That's 71307. We'd love to hear from you this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about real estate. Keith, you know, I always like to hit topics that come up fairly often during the week or over the last couple of weeks, and it seems like earnest money has been a big one just over the last couple of weeks. And so I thought that would be a good conversation for us to have about, you know, what is it? When do you do it? How much do you do? Is there a method to the madness? And so maybe earnest money from end to end until we get a question, call, or comment from our listeners. On the text line 71307, you're listening to House Plans. Chris from County Bank Mortgage, Keith from the Buyer's Broker. So let's talk a little bit about it. First of all, what is it?
Yeah, what is earnest money? Well, earnest money is part of the consideration of creating a contract, and typically it's deposited into a trust account by some licensed professional. Typically in real estate, it would be in the trust account of a real estate company that is managed by the broker in charge and or many times held by the closing attorney, or it's really not the closing attorney. Technically, it would be the escrow agent.
Right.
And they would hold it in a trust account and then disperse it under the terms and conditions of the contract, hopefully,
right,
at closing.
And, of course, basically it's a down payment. It's your down payment on the contract.
Well, it gets credited to your down payment.
It gets credited that way.
Yeah.
But technically, it's you're binding the two together, right?
That's right. It's part of a show of seriousness, not from a technical point of view, but that's in effect what it does. It shows your seriousness and your commitment to fulfill
to the
duties and obligations that you've signed up for in the contract of sale.
Yeah, and is there some type of basis to figure out, well, how much should it be?
Well, it's typically customary,
right?
So it depends on each transaction, and it depends on the policy of typically the agents involved. But
listing agent, buyer's agent, or both?
The companies. Usually
the companies.
A company has a policy about how much earnest money they would like to have. Now, it's strictly
Negotiable, right?
Negotiable by the purchaser and the seller. So we as agents represent the purchaser and the seller, and we're lawfully bound to follow their instructions as long as they're lawful.
Right.
And so if you say it's customary as a buyer's agent to provide 2%.
2% of the purchase price.
Or it's our policy to provide 1% of the purchase price. And your client says, well, that seems a little bit unreasonable to me. I think I want to
offer X.
Or I may not have it. Sometimes when you do a 100% loan or, you know, a VA 100% seller's paying closing costs, then the resources may not be there and you would negotiate that number down.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you're listening to House Plans. Chris from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. We do have our first text question of the day. We're going to get to it on the backside of the break. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, hit us up at 866-442-7553 or the text line 71307. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. Here talking a little real estate today. We've been talking a little bit about earnest money. But we do have our first text question of the day. If you've got a question you want to know something about, hit us up at 71307 on the text line, or you can give us a call at 866-442-7553. Keith, this is a 4 hour and 28 minute discussion we could have about this question. Great question. And I know you and I have both dealt with it in a lot of different circumstances, but it says, on average, how long does it take to process a purchase of a foreclosure, and what are the things to look out for? So, you know, the first part of that question is it depends on where it is in the foreclosure process as to how long it takes to complete the foreclosure.
And if the property's been through the foreclosure,
right,
and everything and the title work is done and it's being sold by the
master in equity
and or it's being resold
by the person that bought it from the master in equity,
then in theory it could happen in the typical time period that it takes to process a normal real estate transaction.
Yes, which we would say right now are, you know, 25 to 30 days.
Yeah, 30 to 45 for make everybody comfortable.
I was giving you the county bank number, 25.
Yeah, a county bank can do it for you, but 30 to 45 days
is typical.
Yeah. But
that assumes that you're buying it from somebody that already bought it in foreclosure. Now, I know a lot of these aggregators online will say pending foreclosure or potential foreclosure or possible foreclosure. They'll identify a property. And oftentimes what that means is that the public records show that a notice has been served. And a lot of times those, you know, the notice will be served, the person will pay it up to date. It never goes to foreclosure. But I would say if you find out, hey, this house in this neighborhood that I like is being foreclosed upon, in the process of being foreclosed upon, how long will that take? And the answer is it could be a long time.
Yes. I was going to say, let's go back to that, because from the first notice, we are what's called a judicial state.
Right.
Which means that the foreclosure proceedings have to go through the courts.
And, correct.
And it takes typically, I would say, 6 months to a year. Right?
Yes, and I would say that's very true, and every situation is a little different depending upon how muddy it is from the standpoint of title. How many liens or judgments are there? How well organized the lender and the attorney that are foreclosing can be. You know, I mean,
how big their backlog is.
Yes.
During the downturn, it could take a year and a half.
Yes. And oftentimes you'll get knee deep in it and all of a sudden a check will show up to pay
current. Yep.
And so if you're chasing one, you know, that can be somewhat frustrating because, you know, sometimes people will get all the way. I mean, I know somebody who's been foreclosed on four times, and when it gets right before the end, they turn around and pay. And, you know, I would be willing to bet that if they ever got into a situation to where they couldn't pay, they'd just file bankruptcy to stop it again.
Right.
You know, and so that's an almost an impossible question to answer. But I would say if somebody's foreclosing and they don't fight it, you know, it's going to be 6 months probably to a year before you have clean title through the master and equity and you can proceed.
And if that's a buyer that has seen, there are aggregators that will send you a list.
Yes.
Of, I can't remember
potential
the status,
foreclosures,
but it says
yeah,
the possible foreclosure.
Yeah, well, in that particular case, notice has been served, and you don't know whether it's going to go one way or the other.
That's right.
But it can. Now, you know, I've seen some very creative things when people wanted to buy the house. And, you know, I've seen people have their agent reach out to the person that lives there then and say, look, you know, I'll buy it. If you want to sell it, we'll give you, you know, even if there's no equity in it, sometimes you can negotiate a short sale. Sometimes you can say, hey, there's no equity in this house, but I want this house and I'll give you $5,000 to move. You know, I've seen people do deed in lieu of foreclosure where they'll just deed the property back to the lender in lieu of having to go through the foreclosure. And there's a whole lot of moving parts in that particular situation. I would tell you, you want to make sure if you're on the front end of the foreclosure that you have a very good agent that's experienced in it, because there are always things that can happen. I mean, you and I worked on a transaction several years ago where the foreclosure process, when we were knee-deep in the purchase and something showed up on title, and the whole foreclosure process had to be reopened to deal with that lien.
That's right. In fact, what I was going to say, Chris, is not only do you need an experienced agent, but you need a good attorney, too.
Yes.
Because I have 30 years' experience, and I would be very, very careful about advising a client to do a transaction or strike a meeting
a deal,
of the minds,
yep,
with someone that's in the middle of foreclosure,
sure,
without a very, very good foreclosure attorney standing by my side to make sure that everything we do is enforceable,
right,
and that you end up with good title, because the issue is about the title. Do you have good marketable title when you finish the process? And many times, I just recently had a closing postponed because one of the mortgages.
An old mortgage
that did not get recorded as satisfied during the foreclosure process.
Gotcha.
And so the title insurance, the attorney could not get the title insurance.
And so it had to be resolved before
we closed on the property.
Yeah, and the second part of that question is what things do you need to be looking for? And, of course, that's a great question, but we're going to roll over to the phone. We'll get back to that in just a second, where our friend Robert Ortega up in Spartanburg is on the line. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Keith, Chris, hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Since you are in the subject and I'm actually handling this, short sale. There is a property that's gone in short sale and people think it's the same as a foreclosure. Maybe as you're rolling on to what foreclosures is, you can bring up.
Yeah,
the difference,
sure,
between one and the other.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're dealing with a short sale and it used to be, you know, significantly more popular 5, 8, 10 years ago, but, you know, a short sale is where the lender, the current mortgage holder, agrees to take less than what the balance on the loan is. And, you know, one of the things that was legislated during that downturn is that there are specific rules now when people get behind and you're servicing the loan. There are specific rules about you have to have one point of contact. The customer has to have one point of contact, and they have the lender has to respond in certain amounts of time. And so that process has greatly improved over the years. But essentially, a good example would be somehow you owe $250, but the current market value of the property is $200 or $220, and you are going to need the lender to allow you to transfer the property for less than what the balance owed, and the lender, in most cases, writes that money off. Now, when Keith and I did transactions, when that first started happening, they were impossible almost to do. It would take 90 to 120 days, maybe even 6 months, to get everybody on the same page.
How about to get them to respond to your offer?
And now there are specific laws in place that say that the lender has to do X, Y, Z, P, D, Q in a timely fashion. There has to be one point of contact. You have to have a direct phone number to talk to that person. And so there's the specific laws that are out there now have sped that process up. Plus, the investors that own these mortgages have figured out they're better off with a bird in the hand than owning the property because they don't want to be in the real estate business.
Well, and the circumstances today, Robert, are a great deal different than they were in 2009. So most of the short sales precipitated from multiple lenders loaning multiple mortgages.
Yes.
And creating a circumstance where there were two or three mortgages greater than the value of the house. Now, today, you don't find that very often. Today, the circumstance might be that someone overpaid for the property when they bought it.
Right.
It has a unique circumstance where I call it a fatal flaw in the property. They've put it on the market for a period of time.
Right.
It hasn't sold. Their circumstances have deteriorated over time. And now they need to reduce the price to a point that it will sell, which typically would be below the mortgage balance.
Yes.
And my guess is that your circumstance, Robert? Is that the circumstance of your client?
No, regrettably, Chris and Keith, what is happening is these people live in the house for less than 2 years. They destroy the house. The house is worth three-quarters of the real value or maybe less.
Sure.
And they cannot afford the mortgage, and they move out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's a change in their financial condition. And when when folks have sometimes some family turmoil and then their lives are falling apart, unfortunately, we've seen it more than once, right, Robert, where they destroy the house out of spite. They just get angry at what's happening to them. And when they move, they may take the appliances, rip them out of the wall. Maybe
the drywall, the cabinets. Light fixtures, the cabinets, the countertops, you don't know. And, you know, it's interesting that you would bring that up, Robert, because, you know, the question we got earlier from the text was, what are some things to look at? And the first thing I always think about is, what is the condition of the property? Because that will determine and have an impact on what type of loan you can get. Because if you're doing a government loan, an FHA loan, a VA loan, or a USDA loan, there are certain requirements for the property condition that are much more stringent than they would be on, say, a conventional loan. Now, you know, you can't do a conventional loan if you've got an active leak in the roof or you got missing light fixtures or whole, but it's typically easier to get a conventional loan. So that would be something that I would be thinking about. We have one right now in our pipeline where somebody is trying to buy their first home, and it is a foreclosure. And the owning bank right now, because the bank wound up with the property, said, we're not giving you any seller paid closing costs, and we're not doing any repairs. And so that puts you in a very poor situation because these folks really need FHA financing, but they can't get FHA financing because of the condition of the property.
Right.
And so, you know, that's one of the things that you would want to think about.
And lenders are different today, aren't they, Chris? Because the market's strong. Sometimes they've foreclosed. do a little improvement and sell the property and make money on
sure.
the property. So,
or take a deed in lieu and yeah. do the same thing. It kind of depends. And every single investor has a different strategy as it relates to how to handle that. I remember in particular that when the downturn first occurred, that Wells Fargo refused to do short sales. They were like, we're not doing it. And so they said no. And so they wound up being in the real estate business. And
more
then,
than they wanted to be.
A lot more than they wanted to be. And they realized yep. that was a lot. That cost them a lot more money. And then ultimately, they developed a very good.
Efficient process.
Efficient, smooth process to not own the properties because they didn't want to be in the real estate business.
Yeah.
You know, so that hit up everything you wanted to talk about, Robert.
One thing I would say in closing with Robert is, Robert, document the condition and put all the numbers together. The banks, one of the things I've learned about the banks is they could care less who it is. They want the information, the numbers, and if it makes financial sense to them, they'll do the deal. So you need
Absolutely.
To document the finance. This
sure.
This is don't just tell them. Digital
show
pictures
them.
And show them and do the analysis, and then they're more likely to accept your short sale.
Absolutely.
I hear you well. Thank
well,
you
Roberts, thank you so much for the call. Great call. All right, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. You can hit us on the text line 71307. We'll be right back after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Halfway through the show, here to answer your questions, calls, comments about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, 866-442-7553. Or you can hit us up on the text line at 71307. That's 71307. So we were talking a little bit earlier about our question that we got that, talking about what are the things to look out for on foreclosures. And, of course, the first thing is, you know, what type of loan are you going to do and what's the condition of the property? Because that'll have an impact on what type of loan you can qualify for. Of course, if you're buying a house that has, let's say, like we were talking about, Keith, where holes in the drywall, toilets missing, and cabinets missing, light fixtures missing, you know, you are most likely going to have to purchase that property on a short-term bridge-type loan for a year or 6 months to give you time to do the repairs, and then you could roll it into a long-term conventional loan or whatever loan of your choice.
And that's what typically an investor will do. An investor typically has a line of credit or an existing or maybe even cash, and when they buy the property, they do it with their own money and then do the improvements and then possibly get permanent financing
sure.
on the property.
Or put it back on the market.
Or put it on the market.
And then one thing to think about if you're doing that, if you are buying in that first-time home buyer area and then you're fixing it up and want to flip it, you also need to be aware that there are some flipping rules that you have to look out for, specifically with FHA. You can't flip it within the first 90 days of ownership, and if you're inside the first 180 days of ownership, you would have to get two appraisals to document the value of the property. And so you need to be looking for that if you're an investor trying to sell as well. Anything else you can think about on the things to look out for? I mean, there's a multitude, but those are the major things.
Yeah, obviously, when you are purchasing a foreclosure, you don't have the same information that you would typically have on a traditional listing. So when I go view property that's listed inside the MLS, there's a reliable information or fairly reliable information that the listing agent has provided when they did their due diligence, including pricing information, the typical seller's disclosure statement where the seller holds out to the public, hey, I've answered these questions about the property, and you can consider that information reasonably reliable. And if the seller knows or should have known this and this and this about the property.
Right.
But on a foreclosure, typically you do not have any of that information.
Yeah, because the lender didn't live there. They don't know.
And so your due diligence on the property typically would require some expertise about condition.
Sure.
So if you...
Hiring a quality inspector would be one
Well, and sometimes you, particularly the first time you view the property, you can't just hire an inspector to carry... go around with you and look at properties. So typically an inspection is done during the contract period. And so you want to have an agent that's experienced enough to look at the HVAC, the roof, and the plumbing, and the basic fundamental condition of the property. Now, most agents will refrain from giving you that information because we're not qualified inspectors. But agents that have a long history of experience can give you some insight that you might not get.
Well, you know, I just had one that came to mind. It was not a foreclosure, but it was there was a lady that lived in the house until she was in her 90s. And it was a huge, beautiful old home, but it had deteriorated while she lived there because she didn't want any help. She didn't have the money to fix it. And so the condition got worse and worse and worse. And then actually, you know, there was several active roof leaks. And so after she passed, the family decided to sell the property, but they were not willing to do any improvement. So, you know, our buyer was like, man, this is a fantastic bones in this house. I mean, it's just a great house and a great location. It just needs some TLC. And when we got the appraisal back, you know, we said, well, you know, you've got three active leaks. We're going to have to let you buy this using a temporary loan, a bridge type loan, so that you can change the condition. And once the conditions change, then we can put you into permanent financing. But because, you know, we're a small bank, we can do that for folks. We could say, look, let's do a 1-year note here to get you through the repairs. And it just happened the guy that was buying it was a contractor, so he knew how to do all those repairs, how to replace it. And you know, when they got finished with the home, it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was just it was night and day. You know, that before and after shot was incredible. Just a little TLC and not a lot of money. But, you know, I mean, decent amount, but not a ton.
The one thing that comes up or comes to mind when we're talking about these things is the thing that I would not know as I viewed a foreclosure property that's in below average condition is whether or not it has termite damage.
Sure.
Okay. And so that's the one thing that you really want to be careful of. So I remember buying a property one time for myself. And I bought it as is because I knew the scope of the work that needed to be done, and I could put a number on that, $3,000 for this, $5,000 for that, $7,000 for this. And so I had a good ballpark number. But I did hire a
termite inspector?
A termite inspector, typically a technician, a pest control technician, and to go underneath the house. And, of course, they use a probe to look for rotten wood and evidence of previous termites or existing termites.
And they also a lot of times check for that fungi and moisture level in the crawl space, which moisture is the devil when it comes to crawl space.
Yeah, that's right. So when we talk about a CL100, we often say termite inspection, but really it's a CL100.
Sure.
And it includes measuring and looking for excessive moisture, as well as other wood-destroying insects, not just termites.
Yeah.
And you know, typically, Billy Hughes, I've known Billy for a long, long time at Gregory Pest, and Billy has a lot of experience, and typically we would refer to layperson's term would be dry rot, but it's not really dry rot. But there are circumstances underneath the house that even the most experienced investor would not be able to analyze or detect. And so that's the one thing that is probably the biggest wild card.
So the million-dollar question is, what'd they find, Keith? Did they find a problem on
well,
the house you were buying?
No, fortunately not.
But they could have, and it could be a very expensive problem.
This was actually a commercial building.
Oh, okay.
So a very, very old home, a 100-year-old house that was zoned commercially. But having said that, be careful if it has a crawl space that you have a professional look underneath it.
Sure.
And really not just look underneath it, inspect it
properly. Inspect it thoroughly, yes. Yeah. Because, you know, moisture is the devil because it creates some of that rotting that you're talking about. And over years, it's just continually going to damage the property. And so
when I have a new client, one of the email series that I send post-closing is called Water is the Enemy. I wrote an article in 2009 in my newsletter that said water is the enemy because many times the damage and deferred maintenance that we see on existing home is a result of water management.
Yes.
And water damage because of lack of management of the water that's coming down on top of the house.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, you can reach us at 866-442-7553 or on the text line 71307. We've got a hard break right here, James. James is on the line over in Greer, but if you'll hold through the break, we'll take your call about investment properties on the other side of this break. This is Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be right back after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. We appreciate James holding through the break. We're going to go over to James from Greer. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've got approximately $60,000 in IRAs from a former employee.
Yes.
Where I used to work. I'd like to pull that out and invest that into real estate.
Okay.
Rental property. What would be your advice, the best way to do that?
Well, there's two things you should look at, and one I can tell you about, but I can't help you with, but I know about it, and you would just Google self-directed IRA, and you can find some information about how to leave that money inside of an IRA and then invest it in real estate. Now, you will have to have a trustee involved because you can't touch the money, but...
I'm 60 years old, so I can bypass that and take it out without a penalty, if that makes any difference.
It does, but if you do it inside of a self-directed IRA, then you get the same advantages that you would get if you invested it in stock. So let's say you bought a house and flipped it, you would that money that you made on that property would be tax deferred until you decided to take it out later. Now, as far as taking the money out and just investing it in property, as a general rule, you're going to get the best rate on an investment property if you're going to get a loan. Are you buying to flip or are you buying to hold and rent?
Hold and rent, more than likely.
Okay.
Yeah, is it for your kids, James, or are you thinking about for yourself?
No, for myself as kind of an additional retirement.
Sure.
So if you if your timeline is, let's say, you want it to be positive, if you can break even, you know, the first 5 years and put the depreciation on your 1040.
Yes.
Then you'll come out ahead, and then hopefully you'll have a positive cash flow. And in the long term, obviously, passing it on to your kids is a great strategy for their long-term financial success. But Chris is right in terms of putting it inside that IRA as a self-directed. And there's some an investment club in the Upstate called Upstate Korea that I actually looked into this one time personally, and it's very easy to do. It's not complicated. There are companies that specialize in it. The one that comes to mind is in Texas that I think that Jason Dillard has recommended over the years. But that's probably the best tax strategy. Now, remember, we're not accountants, and we don't give legal advice.
Right. But it's something that we know that we've seen work. I mean, I know a guy that retired from Duke Power, and that's what he decided to do. And so he took his buyout, took his 401k, rolled it over into a self-directed IRA, and over a period of 8 to 10 years, he acquired 300 rental properties. And he used the IRA as a dual strategy. He would literally, on the mill hill, now this was 2001 when JD and I first got here, but he would buy a house for $18,000, and 4 days later he would sell it to another investor for $24,000. Well, you know, you're going to put that on your regular tax returns, you're going to get hammered right between the eyes with capital gains tax.
It's ordinary gain, not capital gains.
Yes, and so he did those entire transactions inside of his self-directed IRA, and in that particular case, all that money sat there tax deferred until he decided, and he would do it quite often. And then the other thing he would do is he would buy and manage rental properties, and he preferred the lower end of the market because it didn't require a lot of maintenance on the houses. Sometimes he said, you know, you'd be amazed how you could say, look, I want to rent this property, and you would tell the tenant, well, you know, I'm going to paint it, I'm going to do this, or you can paint it and clean it up, and that'll be your security deposit. And a lot of times they said, well, we'll just take care of it. And he wound up with 300 properties over the year. So otherwise, if you're just going to pull the money out and invest it, what I would tell you is you're going to need that money for down payment. You're going to need some of that money for repairs. And so I would say you have to come up with your purchase strategy. And the best rate you can get on a investment property is going to be at a 75 LTV or lower. So you're going to have to put 25% down. To make your money last longer, you can do a 15% down payment, but then you're going to have mortgage insurance. So then you just got to make sure you do the math. And then the most important thing is to make sure that when you're doing your cash flow analysis, that when you look at the taxes, the property taxes, that you make sure you're looking at the highest possible rate, which is that 6%. Because if somebody lives in it now and the taxes are $400, when you buy it, the taxes are going to go to $1,200.
Right.
And so, you know, we can help you acquire those properties. I mean, Keith had a client many years ago that decided he was going to buy in the $250,000 range because he knew where his renters were going to come from. And we helped him acquire 6, 8, 10 properties.
A dozen.
And then now he's sold some of them and made some profit on those. But it is a very nice way to build some wealth.
Yeah, but listen, that's not sugarcoat it either.
It's a full-time
job.
Yes.
And the good news is, of course, you're going to leverage that 60, into managing an asset approximately four times the total value.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Well, appreciate it, guys.
Thanks. Yeah, listen, you can ring us up at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. Or you can shoot an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and we'll be happy to sit down and talk to you about it, James.
Yeah, and report back to us after you get it all done. Let us know what you decided to do and how you did it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you,
appreciate
James.
It. Thanks, guys.
Yes. You know, getting into the investment game, you know,
you and I were sitting here talking about it off the air.
Yeah, it's a full-time job. I say that's, you know, the smartest thing I ever did when it comes to that is eventually I said, you know, I'm a busy person. I'm just going to let somebody else manage these. And, you know, when I went out and looked around and I ended up hiring a management company that also had a home improvement wing. And so when somebody calls me and say, hey, the toilet's backed up, you know, I just tell them we'll go fix it. You know, and so I don't have to mess with that. And I have been very, very pleased with what I'm getting back because they're doing a great job managing the property. They've done a great job picking a tenant. And, you know, the tenant's paid on time, doesn't complain a lot, you know, and if there is something that needs to be done, the company that I've hired will go do it. And so it is a full-time job, and I would tell you that's what you need to think about. But it's not going to be easy. And, of course, Keith, how many people are there out there looking for that one little shiny
deal? Yeah, the
truth
is the opportunities have disappeared. You really have to look hard today to find a property that
sure.
will cash flow the way it should.
But it's not unusual for me to find one where somebody's paying 78 for a property that appraises at 110.
That's true.
And yeah. and it will be borderline condition, probably what you would consider not bad condition, but it may be last updated in June of 1978. And so, you know, you have to make up your mind at that point. Do you go in as an investor, buy it? You got instant equity but versus the appraisal. Do you put a little cash in it or do you just rent it like it is? You know, and there's a lot of math to all that, but it is a great way to build wealth. And then, of course, most of the wealth building books that you read will always tell you when you move, don't sell your house, rent your house, keep it. And, you know, a lot of people don't do that because, you know, they need the funds out of it to buy the next one or they're not interested in managing properties. But, you know, keeping that's what I did when I moved back to Greenville.
Yeah. When I work with first time home buyers, it's one of the criteria that they use or I advise that they use in terms of mapping out their strategy. Where do you want this property? Most of the time, a first time home buyer hasn't chosen the location based on schools or commute. They're using other criteria.
Sure.
And part of that defining your goals and objectives should be, am I going to keep this property
sure.
when I move up? Am I going to keep it and rent it, or
right.
am I going to sell?
And that could have an impact on whether you decide to do a 30-year loan.
That's right.
Or whether you decide to do a 15 or 20, you know, because if you've got great rates like you have now
right.
and you want to borrow the money over a 30-year period to keep the cash flow, you know, you have to remember you can always pay more. You know, if you want to pay more on the payment, there's no prepayment penalty. You can pay all you want when you want. But giving you that ability to string it out over 30 years gives you the lowest possible cash flow should the property become empty. And of course, that's something you would want to target. And if you're interested in paying it off on 10 years, then you just ask your lender, you say, hey, what payment do I have to make this go away in 10 years? Especially if you're going to use it for retirement, you know. And that would be for a commercial property. That would be for any rental property at all. It would be, when do I want to have it paid for so that I've got 100% of the income coming in minus that
yeah,
little bit of expenses?
Yeah,
and that's the strategy you would want to use. But it is competitive. You will need a team of experts to help you unless you are very, very knowledgeable about the condition of property. Like, you know, even someone like you that has seen, you know, 5,000 houses or 3,000 houses, you wouldn't even consider buying an investment property without having an inspector look at it.
That's right.
Because they're going to know things you don't know. You're going to have a termite person look at it because they're going to know things you don't know. I tell you one other thing that comes to mind, too, is oftentimes in these builder neighborhoods, especially if it's a regional builder, sometimes, I've seen this happen, you can buy the model from the builder and then lease it back to them while they're trying to sell out the neighborhood. I've seen that happen several times.
Most of the production builders do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, you've been listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house, Keith Clark from The Buyer's Broker. We certainly appreciate all our listeners' questions, calls, and comments. To reach us outside the show, you can send an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Or you can always reach us on the phone at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. Y'all have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.